Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to Brave New World programme. My name's John Harrison. India's population and emissions are rising fast. Its ability to tackle poverty without massive new fossil fuel use is by no means certain. And with a population the size of India's, this issue is important for all of us. Out of the world's most heavily polluting nations, only Indian emissions are rising quickly, almost 5% in 2016 alone. Joining the program is Tausif Mukri, an Indian technology analyst. Welcome to the program, Tausif.
Hello, John.
Now, India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi has pledged that every Indian will have electricity and education, health and business benefits that follow that by the end of this year. Is this possible, as India currently has over 200 million people without electricity?
Well, John, to be honest, I'll be very happy if the Indian Prime Minister actually delivers on this promise, at least. India is the world's third largest producer and consumer of power, as you might know.
Yeah.
However, the BJP, before coming to power, had made a mountain of promises to the electorate on which they time and again are being mocked and attacked and questioned by the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Even the electrification of the calculation of electrification of villages in India is you only need to electrify 10% of the village to announce that all the villages have been electrified. Similarly, by that calculation, the Prime Minister of India had announced in April that all the villages were now electrified.
Right.
But that doesn't mean all the households have received electricity. And to answer your question briefly, though, I believe that achieving such a goal in that short a time is wishful thinking.
Yeah, okay. Now, you've actually hit on a very interesting subject here, because electrifying a country, a land area the size of India, is a massive task, isn't it? It involves building pylons. If we're looking at traditional electrical distribution, we're looking at building pylons and literally hundreds of thousands of kilometers of cables. And that alone means that you're producing a hell of a lot of waste just building the infrastructure to deliver the electricity. There is an alternative to this, isn't there? There is the construction of alternative energy distribution centers, such as using solar panels, and
yes,
wind resource can be activated, although probably isn't that much of that in certain parts of India. But as I gather, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that's happening, is it? I think India's decided to rely more on traditional distribution of electricity and therefore generation of electricity.
To be fair with the Prime Minister of India, he has actively promoted the use of renewable forms of energy, solar energy, electric vehicles, and biofuel. I can positively say that there's a huge push from the government, even to the automobile manufacturers, to reduce vehicular emissions by introducing more options in the electric car segments, which also gives rebate to the automobile manufacturers and the consumers if they go for the electric option. However, the industrial emissions, they are still causing a major impact on the whole scenario and the emissions. Also, there is one minor thing which might irk in the long process, because the biggest donors of our Prime Minister and his party, which are Ambani and Ruya,
mm-hmm,
of Reliance and SR fame,
mm-hmm,
are the biggest conglomerates in oil and gas exploration, processing, refining and retail in India.
Right.
From my past experience, I'm confident that he might not want to lose that.
Yes, well, that was very diplomatically said. Well done. The point is that whoever, you know, basically starts to deliver this electricity will continue, won't they? I mean, do you know any stats? You were talking about Indian villages in the top of the program here. That little average of Indian village where 500 people live, or maybe up to 1,000 or something, they need X hundred kilowatts of power to supply electricity for computers, for water pumps, for electric light bulbs and so on. Does the infrastructure already exist for them to receive this power all over India through pylons and through cables, or has that yet got to be built?
Well, that's the major problem of bringing in electricity to the villages. You need to create a humongous infrastructure to first set up a base for putting up the transformer, and then you have to distribute. So there are two ways of doing that, and the distribution part is easier, but transmitting the electricity to that area, and mind you, India is a huge nation with varied geographical areas. So you have mountains, you have flat plains, And I know there are various areas in the Northeast and other hilly areas where people are still using wood and other forms of energy for basically cooking their food. So I, over here, I think it's very challenging for even setting up the infrastructure. And I don't believe that kind of infrastructure exists at the moment.
Right. Okay. So the infrastructure does not exist at the moment, we think. And that means that basically Prime Minister Modi is making statements which cannot be actually backed up. In reality, perhaps the only way out is to provide alternative energy plants in all of these small places, therefore negating the need to build expensive distribution systems over thousands and thousands of kilometers to reach these outlying places. But as you've just said, there is a very large fossil fuel lobbying group of people within the Indian government that will influence decisions that are going to be made. Is that more or less a situation before we move on to another topic?
Indeed, John. We have a huge group, a huge lobby, which unfortunately kind of has the power to work its way around the decision-making process of the government. And it has been seen time and again when it comes to the price of crude, when it comes to the taxation on the byproducts of crude, such as petrol, diesel in India. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. It's basically a cartel that influences the decision of the government on these policies.
Right. Okay. Let's take a short break here.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to Brave New World program. Today I'm talking about the possibility of India providing more energy to an increasing population without dramatically increasing pollution with Tausif Mukri, an Indian technology analyst. Now, Tausif, at the beginning of the program, you basically said that the Indian government is unlikely to introduce alternative fuel generating plants to meet the rising demand for electricity throughout India. And that may happen, but there are limitations on this. And one very clear limitation would be the lobbying power of the fossil fuel energy creating powers to be. Okay, bearing that in mind, we still have a whole, you know, different issue to decide, don't we, as far as the future goes. Will Indians themselves keep on demanding and battling for more energy, or will they just kind of just give up? You know, because, I mean, we've had our time in the sun in the West. You know, we're used to having, endless supplies of energy. You guys haven't had that. And I think you look at the Western world as being these spoiled people who criticize us, poor people. We've never had what you had, you know, so stop it. Stop criticizing us. And we'll just take our energy whichever way we can get it, please. Thank you very much. I mean, that's really the issue, isn't it? It's the Indian desire, their grassroots feeling of perhaps dissatisfaction and injustice with the way that the West is looking at this problem.
Well, you touched a very important subject over here, John. To give you a brief, India started its transformation after the independence.
Yeah.
And they reached on a global platform during 1991. That point was the beginning of technological and industrial growth of India. It was a revolution. That revolution enabled the Indian people to rise from poverty and reap the benefits of India becoming a developing country at that pace. That money enabled them to explore various options, to buy cars, to spend on various stuff. And all of that contributed to the energy demand of the nation of India. That itself, and keeping in mind that we are 1.2 billion and counting in India. So it will definitely have an impact on the world. So even though the world does not have the right to dictate terms to India as to how they can develop themselves, as to how they can be a richer nation.
Yeah.
But India has a moral obligation to the humanity, to the world, in terms of having more cleaner sources of energy.
Yeah, it has an obligation, but I wonder if the average Indian really feels that, you know. I mean, I have all sorts of obligations to my country, but I don't really think of them very often, you know. And I'm sure it's the same for you. I mean, theoretically, every Indian has an obligation, but I wonder if we really feel that. I mean, you don't really feel that when you want to, you know, heat up your house and you can't because there's no electricity or there's no light at night to turn on, you know, or your food's off because there's no electricity to power your fridge if you have a fridge, and so on and so on. Yeah. You know, I don't think people are really aware of that. What do you think?
Yeah. According to me,
yeah.
An average Indian
yeah.
who's living in a village which gets 2 hours of electricity every day,
yeah.
he might not think about his obligations or the obligation of the nation towards the environment per se.
Yeah.
Because for them, they are already living a difficult life. They
yes.
are living a life with the least possible privileges. So I believe they do not have that kind of awareness that the urban Indians like me, we have. They don't have the understanding at all.
Yeah. I mean, I've just been reading an article about this, and the scale of the challenge is huge, isn't it? AJ Mathur, the head of the Energy and Resources Institute, an influential Delhi-based think tank, told the Independent newspaper recently, no matter what numbers you look at, we will at least double or double and a half our energy consumption in the decade to 2030. You know, I mean, this is a huge juggernaut that's hurtling full speed, isn't it, into very, very rapid development of increased energy consumption. And if it's the question is, can the Indian government steer that juggernaut towards direction of alternative non-polluting energy sources or not? Listening to you, it sounds that it can't.
No. The answer of can mm-hmm. is yes, we can.
Yes, okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. the government can.
Yeah.
But the question remains whether it will or it won't.
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah, and will it, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I believe it's a bit challenging because India, it works in a mysterious way. The government, they work in a mysterious way. Each and every government in India has their own obligations towards the supporting people at the back, the supporting lobbies and entities. And before in 2008, India had created a framework, which was a national framework on policy change national action plan on policy of climate change, where they had in detail discussed about setting up 8 national missions, such as a solar mission, for example, a substantial habitat, a Green India mission, sustainable agriculture mission. I went through that document in detail during that time, and I found it to be very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
However, again, when it comes to implementation, we have actively promoted the use of these kind of energy resources. But the challenge is, the document talks about implementation, but realistically, to implement this plan, we cannot have that kind of infrastructure to have the renewable energy resources in place, which could be consumed by almost 1.4 billion people.
Unless the cost of alternative fuel source production continues to fall, because we've seen over the last couple of years the cost of solar energy production dropping by 30%. It's just it's a revolution, isn't it? I'm not sure about wind power.
Absolutely.
But I mean, looking at what's happening in parts of Africa, they're just abandoning the whole idea of traditional energy distribution and going full out for erecting very small and local energy producing power plants based on alternative fuel systems. Now, this could easily happen in India, couldn't it? I mean, this could be the next step. But
green energy is very important for India.
Mm.
We do have massive projects in place throughout the country. We have hydroelectric plants, we have solar farms, we have wind energy, we also have nuclear energy. But to a limited scale,
yeah.
The alternative energy resources, indeed they have got cheaper, but setting them up, it involves a huge one-time investment.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not the Indian government is ready, it looks tempting. It is tempting, and it is definitely cost-effective.
Mm-hmm.
So to give you an example about how cost effective it is, I can end up spending 10 times less than what I'm spending on petrol at the moment in India
mm-hmm.
if I use alternative energy resources like electric powered vehicles.
Yeah.
So yes, it is tempting, but it involves a huge cost, and whether or not Indian government is going to take that cost is to be seen.
Yeah, and we're not really talking about the government of Narendra Modi, are we? We're talking about the Indian government full stop. The problems that you were mentioning earlier on, I think, are endemic within the Indian political system. It's not just a characteristic of the present government, is it?
Well, indeed, we are talking about the Indian government full stop, mm-hmm. but just to remove the full stop for the moment, mm-hmm. the current establishment in India has been very cozy towards private players in the field of oil and gas in various other fields. So that has led to a lot of criticism among the Indian public for the government.
Yeah,
I am looking at the moment is not promising. When a government deals with conglomerates in this way, we as people suffer at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much indeed, Tasif Mukri, an Indian technology analyst. And I think that you have given us all a perspective and understanding of what's going on in India. And we are talking about a incredibly important but underreported story. I don't think many of us understand just how serious this is. And depending on which way India goes, we could see India serving as the tipping point, going over that point, over the 2 degrees rise into 3 and 4s and so on, which would be catastrophic for all of us. So anyway, thank you very much indeed for tuning into Brave New World this week. Come again next week. Goodbye.